Welcome back, everyone, to the Ted Ramey Show here on KMBR 1050. Of course, in the in-between hours after a big-time Warriors win in Houston on Tuesday night and before once again on the second night of a back-to-back, they go up and face the San Antonio Spurs. And we are lucky enough to be joined by the one and only Rick Bucher, of course, SiriusXM Radio and Bleacher Report. He's got us here on 1050. Rick, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. We've got NCAA tournament. We've got the NBA playoffs just around the corner. It's almost time when these games start to become real again.
It's fun, man. It's a blast, and there's more than enough hoops to go around right now. And I'm just curious, as you are a basketball man, just since I haven't talked to you about this before, are you a fan of Gino Auriemma? Because I know he rubs everyone a different way.
I like some of the things that he has to say. The whole argument when it comes to, you know, watching women's basketball and women's basketball not getting enough attention. I happen to have a daughter who just turned 14. She's a little basketball player. She's pretty good, so I'm far more conscious of it. I never believe in anybody being guilted into watching or doing anything. There can be excellence, but if it doesn't draw your attention, it doesn't draw your attention. I do believe that Auriemma has had a huge effect, but he's got a huge advantage, not just in terms of what he's been able to do with that program, but the fact that he runs the national team program. That's always going to have an advantage when you're talking about getting the best players.
Well, since you've got the perspective of having a daughter who is, entering those prime basketball playing years and knowing, you know, potentially, you know, there's a million things that could be in her future, but would you rather have her play for him or Vanderveer out here in Stanford?
Well, for me, it's still the playing should be the vehicle to the education. So if my daughter can get a Stanford education, I have nothing, you know, I would have no problem with her playing for either one of them. But the tiebreaker, or maybe the primary, would be where is she going to get the best education? And maybe there's a reason that UConn would give that, depending on what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I had no idea. I changed probably three times over the course of my college career what I actually thought I was going to end up doing. And the idea that somebody knows at 18 going into college what they want to be, I think is a little unrealistic. But that said, I'd probably side with having her go to Stanford if she was lucky enough to have that choice.
No, good choice, man. Not that there is a wrong choice per se, but that is a good choice if there is one to make. And again, we've got Rick Bucher joining us here on KMBR 1050. For what it's worth, Rick, I was a psychology student, so, you know, here I am talking into a microphone all the time.
You know what? You can make almost anything work, right?
Exactly. Exactly. But let me, as we dissect the psychology of the modern athlete versus one of a generation or two ago, right now the NBA is crazy about rest right now. And there's been much made about the Warriors and the Spurs and LeBron. And yet you got James Harden going out there talking about how he, you know, thinks that they should take into account how many games guys are playing. Well, where do you fall on this entire issue, knowing that there are previous generations that did not do this, yet there is now, empirical evidence that shows, hey, we can make a pretty strong correlation, if not connection, between fatigue and the incidence of injury?
Yeah, and I would say that it's not just – I think the misnomer here is when people just think it's rest. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are 100% and they're fine, but they might be a little tired, so we're going to shut them down. I don't know of any teams that take that approach. Generally, when rest is involved, it's because there's a nagging injury, there's an issue that they have that they're trying to keep calm down. And so what they have discovered is, rather than – and I think in the old days – it was you played through it, you toughed it out, it would get better. What they found now is that, okay, so maybe you don't complicate that particular injury, but your body compensates, and now you're creating problems elsewhere. We've become much better at understanding kinesiology and the body mechanics and how injuries can create other problems. And so I dare say, you know, the idea that we shouldn't avail ourselves of the increased knowledge, or that teams shouldn't, considering all the money that they have invested. And let's face it, you know, 15, 20 years ago, didn't have the same amount of money.
Yeah.
The star-driven teams, people went out, and this is gonna sound like a crazy notion to your listeners. People actually went out to watch the teams play and their team winning or losing, and not, well, LeBron James is in town.
Yeah.
Or James Harden is in town. And I know that people still do that to a certain extent, but I am not going to fault the teams that you just mentioned. The San Antonio Spurs, Cleveland Cavaliers, the Golden State Warriors are three teams that I can look at certifiably and say, these teams are trying to win a championship. They're doing everything they can to win a championship. I would say that there's probably no more than a half a dozen teams that are legitimately, that is their be-all and their end-all.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is trying to find a way to win and make their product look good, but they're not necessarily investing all of their resources to actually chase a championship. So when a team is looking to win it all and is taking certain steps and measures on behalf of that, I am not about to criticize them. I have a much bigger problem with the teams that are at the other end of the spectrum who are shutting players down so that they can assure themselves of a worse record. To me, that's an abdication. And you can say, hey, you know, we want to look at the young guys and whatnot. But to me, that goes against the spirit of competition and underserving your fans more so than the teams that are trying to win championships. I get the premium. I don't like the premium ticket element, and I don't like springing surprises on the broadcast partners. But I think there's an easy way around that. You're never going to be able to tell teams how and when they should play their players.
Now, I know that messing around with the TV broadcast partners, that's something that we assume will be alleviated to an extent in the coming year when they make the adjustments to the schedule. That being said, it does not take a genius to look at the schedule this year and say, here's two of our primary matchups with the Warriors and the Spurs happening in 2017, both on the second night of back-to-backs for the Warriors. Somebody should have been able to look at that and say, hey, you know what? Maybe we should amend that.
Yeah. Well, I think they will now, and I think the league has, for the players and the teams, have forced that hand, in that the league is going to have to be more cognizant of that. It's one of the reasons why, going back when Greg Popovich was fined $250,000 for not just not playing his guys, but sending them home and not even having them in the building, that was a national game at the end. I believe it was the end of a 4-game and 5-night swing. And, you know, that's the other part. These teams don't want to be embarrassed or look compromised on national TV, and yet the schedule is setting it up as such that's what happens. And I know this. I've talked to people in the league office. They are confident that they're expanding the length of the season next year. They're asking the teams, and this is an important part too. The teams have to be part and parcel of this, is they're asking them for more available dates in their buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to take anything away from the fact that constructing the schedule is really a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
It is a challenge. And a lot of times it's, you know, you have San Antonio or Chicago, when they've gone on their circus tours, like, teams don't have their buildings available to them for weeks at a time. That's why you run into some of these situations. And so that the league is hoping that the teams will give them a little more flexibility in order to avoid these type of scheduling problems.
Again, we're talking to Rick Bucher right now, Sirius XM Radio Bleacher Report, joining us here on the Ted Ramey Show on KMBR 1050. Where are you on the Warriors right now, and coming off of a big win over the Rockets and expecting the return of Kevin Durant potentially before the end of the regular season?
Yeah. I think they're fully capable of coming out of the West. I've not been one of those that thought it was a foregone conclusion. I need to see how well they play defensively in the postseason. And when I look at these games, I don't necessarily